he has something for all of us. But I believe there's some in this room who you're not sure if you're saved or not. And what's special for you tonight is that after I give a little message about Jonah, then I'm going to give another little message about what the Lord Jesus did for you. And we'll be done in about 3 hours. No, just kidding. But you know what, boys and girls? I want you to listen good tonight again, like you've done all day. Because Jonah gives us a real lesson. On the one hand, Jonah shows us what not to be. But on the other hand, if we contrast Jonah's life with the life of the Lord Jesus, we're going to find something very interesting. We're going to be reminded of what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And that's what we want to emphasize tonight. And I want you to open up your hearts. And if you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that you're going to go to heaven, if you're not sure you're a Christian, we want to be able, before you leave this room tonight, to show you for sure from God's Word, not because we say so, but because God's Word says so, how you can be saved. Okay? Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles, turn it open to the book of Jonah. There's a few things that we want to learn from Jonah. Now, most of us know that Jonah was swallowed up by a big fish. Now, some people say it was a whale. Some people say it was something else. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say it. The Bible says it was a big fish that God especially prepared just for this occasion. That God had prepared this big fish for Jonah. In fact, if you look in each of the chapters, there's something interesting that shows up. In chapter 1, we're going to see that God prepares a great wind. In chapter 2, God prepares a great fish. In chapter 3, God prepares a great city. And in chapter 4, God prepares the people. Sorry, in chapter 4, God prepares a plant, a great plant, for Jonah, and a lesson in that plant, a great lesson. So those are the four chapters, and we're not going to look at all four chapters. We're going to concentrate on chapters 1 and 2 tonight. But I want to emphasize this to you, that God had Jonah. See, Jonah was a prophet of God. Now you might say Jonah wasn't a very good prophet of God because Jonah disobeyed God. God told Jonah, and you can read this in the story, but in fact, why don't we just read a couple of these verses just to get the idea of what God said. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me.' But Jonah arose." Did he go there? Look at the next verse. Look at the next word. Did he go to Nineveh? Where did he go? Who can tell me? Where did he go? Yes, sir. He went to Tarshish, right? If my math is right, I think it's about 2,500 miles the opposite direction. Okay? So he turned around and went the opposite direction God told him to do. Right? Then it says that Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, twice so far we've read that Jonah tried to outrun the presence of God. He tried to leave the presence of the Lord. He tried to say, "Look, God, I know you want me to go this way, but I don't want to do that. I want to go that way, and I'm going to outrun God." Is that possible? You cannot outrun God. Listen, Adam and Eve tried to outrun God. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God, and God says, "Where art thou?" And that's a good question for each one of us to ask ourselves tonight. In fact, God is asking you that question tonight by the Spirit of God. God is saying to you, where are you in your relationship to Him? You can't outrun the presence of God. There's nowhere you can hide. There's nowhere you can run. You can't outrun the presence of God. And Jonah had to learn this. Later on in verse 10, it says again that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Jonah. So three times in this one chapter, it reminds us that Jonah tried to outrun God. He tried to leave the presence of God. But listen, I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says that God is omnipresent. That means that God is everywhere. You can't outrun God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms in chapter 139, that even if I run to the depths, thou art there. You can't outrun God. And you know what this reminds us? This reminds us, it reminds me of how I used to try to outrun God. There was a time in my life that I tried to outrun God. I promised God I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 6 years old. But you know what? There was a time in my life when I got away from the Lord. And God in His grace didn't give up on me. You know what? God didn't give up on Jonah. And there was a time in my life when I had gone a different direction and I tried to outrun God. And one time in the middle of the woods, God told me, I thought I was someplace I shouldn't have been. And God arrested my heart in the middle of the woods. Actually, you know what God did? He got me lost. I was lost. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was lost. And I couldn't find my way. And I was about 17 years old in the middle of this woods. Lost. Darkness all around me. You know what? I knew I was running from God. And I fell down on my knees. And I begged God to forgive me. And I said, oh God, if you just get me out of this woods, I'll promise to serve you all my life. When I said amen, I stood up. I took 1, 2, 3 steps. And I was out on pavement. I was that close. But I didn't know it. And as soon as I stepped out on the pavement, I said, uh-oh. Because I just promised God I'd serve Him if He would get me out of those woods. And He did. And now I knew God meant business. And I want to tell you something, young people. God means business with your life. God means business with you tonight. This is no game. God means business with you. He says, my son, give me thy heart. He means business. And whether you're a son or a daughter, it doesn't matter. Daughter, give me thy heart. He wants our hearts tonight. Does your heart belong to God?
Yes.
I hope so. I pray so. I'm glad to hear that. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. But you know, Jonah, his heart, he belonged to God. He was a prophet of God. But yet he ran from God. And what we find with this, what we find with Jonah is, in those first two chapters of the book, we learn, first of all, Jonah's rebellion. He took off from God. He tried to outrun God. And as we said, you know, Jonah, he gets down. And noticing this in the third verse, it says that he arose to flee and he went down. And you know what? Every time you turn your back on God, it's a downward slope. Every time you walk away from all the blessings God has, there's only one direction to go if you're turning away from God, and that's down. But listen, young people, God says, I have something better for you. I want you to look up, and I want to lift you up. But Jonah, he went down. And notice this. It says that Jonah paid the price. He paid the fare. And listen, if you run from God, I can promise you this, based on the authority of God's word, you try to outrun God, and you will pay the price. Because this world will suck you dry. It will take everything you've got. It will try to rob you. You know what Pharaoh back in Egypt said? He says, listen, all I want the children. You go ahead and you go out and you worship your God, but you give me the children. You see, that's the way the devil is. He just wants us and he wants your youth. He wants to rob your youth. He wants to rob all your energy, anything you could do for God. Let me tell you this. We're talking about prayer, right? I want to tell you, young people, praying young people can change things. I know of an assembly. I won't tell you where. But I know of an assembly where the young people saw that there were problems in the assembly. Now listen to this. The young people, a little bit older than you, saw that there were some problems going on in the assembly. They saw this brother wouldn't get along with this brother and so on and so forth. And you know what happened? The young people decided to come together and start praying. And they started praying and they started praying in less than a year. You know what happened? This is very serious. You know what happened? In less than a year, one of the brothers that was a problem in that assembly, the Lord took him home. Another, and the other brother was so convicted at the funeral for, because of his relationship with that other brother, you know what happened? He repented of his ways. Now that assembly today is a growing assembly. The Lord is blessing it now. But it started with young people praying. I'm telling you here tonight that your life can be used for God, but you can't be like Jonah. You can't turn and run. Because you know what? What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his own precious soul? You see, the world, you pay the price. I know people that have lived a sinful life all their life. And you can see it on their face. You can see it in their life. There's no joy. There's no peace. They paid the price for the life they lived. And you know what, young people? That's not for you. That's not for any of you. There's the ultimate price that you might end up paying. And the wages of sin is death. Death means to be forever separated from God. From a loving God who loves you. To be forever separated from Him. That's what real spiritual death is. But Jonah, he paid the price. And he went down. And in his rebellion, he disobeys God's word. God spoke to him, and he says, listen, I don't care what the word says. I don't care what you say. I want to go my own way. And this reminds us, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have turned our own way. We've turned our back on Him and gone out our own way. Listen, God's word is there for your instruction. God's word is there to help you. It's not there to hurt you. It's not there. God's authority in your life. It's not there to hinder your fun. You know, that's what the devil wants to say. That's what the devil wants you to get to thinking. That the Lord just wants to dampen all of your fun. But that's not true. You see, God knows. God knows, and He's given us instruction in His Word. Not to hinder our fun, but for our health and to help us. And so God gives us these instructions. And you know, they disobeyed God's word. And then he becomes a problem to others. Notice this, that when Jonah was in that ship, and you remember the story, right? Jonah goes down into the ship. He lays down. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? He's laying down in the ship, right? And what's he doing when he goes down in the ship? He lays down, and what else does he do? Yeah. He decides now would be a good time to take a nap. He kicks back. He lays down. He snuggles up with his favorite blanket. And what does he do? He starts snoring to beat the band. He was sound to sleep. I don't know if he snored or not. But he was sound asleep. In fact, the wind, the wind, God sent a great wind. And listen, isn't that God's grace? God sent this great wind to say, Jonah, I want to get your attention. Jonah, I need your attention. I need you to pay attention to what I'm doing in your life. Jonah, you're headed down the wrong road, and I want you back. Jonah, you belong to me. You don't belong on that road. Listen, God is telling you tonight, young people. Young man, God's speaking to you tonight. He's saying, I want you back to me. I don't want you to go down that road. And I'm sending a great storm right now. I am sending you a warning. Right now, the word of God is being spoken to you. And that's a warning to you. To see, and to hear that God loves you. That's God's grace. Man, I'll tell you how thrilling it is. How thrilling it is to see you young people here. To be under the sound of God's word. To be able to hear God's word being spoken to you. God is speaking to you right now. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I need your ears to be listening. I need your heart to be open. Because God is speaking to you tonight. So what we find, he becomes a problem. Now, there he is. He's laying down in the ship. The storm comes. These are experienced seamen. Alright, this isn't like me going out on the boat. A couple of years back, Brother Dennis back there and I were on a rafting trip together. And I'll tell you what, I'll never go on the ocean with Brother Dennis. And he'll never go on the ocean with me. We were flip-flopping all over in on that river. But you know what? These were experienced fishermen. And what do we find? Experienced seamen, I should say. And what do we find? We find that these seamen, they were trying to throw the water out of the boat, and they were fearful of their... They had been in many storms. They had been through many storms. Listen, they had gone through the worst of storms. But this storm was different. This was a God-sent storm to grab the attention of one of his own that had gone astray. And God shook the sea. God shook the wind. And God says, I want your attention. I want to tell you something, young people. He wants your attention tonight. And God said, with the wind and the waves coming up over the boat, they couldn't handle it any longer. You know what they did? They started casting rocks to see whose fault it was. And then they found out. They go and wake up Jonah. They say, Jonah, what are you doing down here? Who are you? And what are you doing here? Well, he says, get this. He says, well, I'm a prophet of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. And I'm running from God. He says, I'm trying to outrun God. He admitted it. But the thing of it is, his failure to obey God affected all those around him. Now your life can be a blessing to those around you, or your life can be a burden to those around you. Jonah's life at this moment was a burden. I want to ask you, what are you? Are you a burden or a blessing?
A blessing.
I trust so. I trust you are. I trust each one of us are. You know, with Jonah, he suffered the consequences of his sin. Jonah finally says, look at verse 11. Jonah says, because they said, verse 11, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For this sea is growing more tumultuous. They said, listen, if we don't do something, this sea is going to consume us. And you know something, young people? If you don't do something, you will be consumed. The Bible speaks of God as a consuming fire. And if you're not prepared to meet God, if you haven't accepted His love and His grace that He offers you through His finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus, then the storm's only going to get worse for you. But you know what? The beautiful thing is, God doesn't want that for you. In fact, what we find with Jonah is that Jonah says this in verse 12. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will be calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. He says, look, rather than me repenting right now, rather than me agreeing with God and saying, listen, God, I know I've been running from you. I get the message. I want to repent. I want to stop running from you. Rather than me changing my mind, just throw me overboard. And you know, some people think that way. Some people just think, you know what? I'd rather just leave. Let it all be over. But you know what? God doesn't want that thing for anybody. And you know what God has for you? God has rich blessings for you. But He needs to get your attention. Finally, the men, they wanted to save Jonah. They tried some other things. They couldn't save him. So finally they said, well, we're going to get consumed if we don't do something. We're going to go down with the ship if we don't get rid of Jonah. So they picked Jonah overboard. And one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, four to go. There goes Jonah. Right into the sea. What's he do? Start dog paddling? I don't think so. My Bible tells me that God not only prepared that great wind, but God prepared a great fish. And that great fish came, and probably immediately, it was probably waiting for God, waiting for God's word. God prepared it, and as soon as Jonah hit the water, I believe that that great fish swallowed him up. You know what? He suffered the consequences. Now you might think that that was death. But you know, as Jonah's down there in that belly of that great fish, Jonah has some lessons to learn. God says, I'm not through with you yet. Jonah, I'm still trying to get your attention. And I want to say, young people, God's still trying to get your attention tonight. Jonah recognizes that this discipline was from God. See, sometimes we think discipline is something negative. Sometimes we think discipline is punishment. But God's discipline and punishment are two different things. Punishment is if God never gave Jonah a chance and God would have Jonah's life taken away from him. Discipline is that God has a purpose for Jonah to get swallowed up by that big fish. God has a purpose for your life. We may have to go under the discipline of God. The word discipline in the Bible simply means training. God is training us. It says, whom a father loves, he disciplines, or he trains. He chastens. And so, how important it is that he recognizes this is none other than the hand of God on his life. You need to recognize that God's speaking to you tonight. He relies on the grace of God. Notice this in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Jonah recognizes the grace of God. He says this, young people. He says, even though I'm under that disciplined hand of God, and even though I'm down here in the belly, he says, I'm going to look up. There's only one place to find grace. There's only one place, and that's to look up. First, you need to look up to the cross, and you need to realize that God sent His Son, not to condemn the world, but that through Him, the world might be saved. God loves you so much that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to seek that which was lost. He came not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. And the whole purpose of it is so that you might have life. And Jonah, see, he recognizes the discipline of God, and then he realizes there's only one way to turn. And that's to turn to God. To turn to the grace of God. You see, the thing is, if you don't have God in your life, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're not only without God, but it also says you're without hope. You know what? There's still hope for Jonah. Because what Jonah does is he turns his eyes toward God. In repentance. He relies on the grace of God. He realizes that only the omnipotent hand of God can save him. You know the Lord Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father except through me. The Lord Jesus said that He was that only way that you and I can come to God is through confessing with our mouth, believing in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. See, the only way you can find salvation, the only way you can escape the judgment of God is if you rely on the grace of God. And that's what Jonah does. He responds in faith to a faith-answering God. You know, if you look at verse 7, we see that Jonah responds in faith. He says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Now that's got to be faith. Think about it for a minute. Where is Jonah at this moment?
Heaven.
No, not heaven. Where is he?
In the fish.
He's in the belly of a fish. And I don't know exactly where the fish was, but he was down in the sea, right? Could have been laying on the bottom of the sea. I don't know. But there's Jonah. Laying down in the sea, in the belly of a fish. And what does Jonah say? Let me read it again. What does he say? He says this. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you. He says, listen, I'm in the bottom of this fish, but I'm going to exercise faith, and I'm going to trust the Lord. Even though I'm down here in this fish. That's faith. You know what? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know where faith comes from? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Tonight you're hearing the Word of God. But you need to exercise faith, just like Jonah did. You need to exercise faith. You need to depend not on your own understanding, but you need to trust God. You need to surrender your heart to Him tonight. Then, what do we find? He recalls the things from God's perspective. Listen, I want to tell you this. It does not matter what I say to you. It does not matter what Brother Dave says to you. It does not matter what Brother Joe says to you. I think he would agree with me on that.
Amen.
The only thing that matters is what does God say?
Amen.
And God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's word says the soul that sins must surely die. If you can say tonight that you have sinned, even if it was one sin, if you can say tonight you're a sinner, the Bible says the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, is death. Separation from God. But that's the bad news. You want the good news?
Amen.
The good news is the gift of God is eternal life. God says, I don't want you to stay down in the belly of the fish. I don't want you to die. I want you to enjoy life. And you know what happens? He recalls things from God's point of view. We need to know what God says in His Word. We need to know this. You need to study this book as young people. You need to be reading this book every day, just like you have today and you'll have tomorrow, time with God. Listen, you need time with the Lord. We've been talking about prayer, but listen, God's Word and prayer is like a telephone. Right? You communicate on one end, that's prayer. You listen on the other end, that's the Word of God. You need to hear what God has to say to you. And the power of the Word and the power of prayer, I'll tell you, it can change your life. But Jonah recalls things from God's perspective. He remembers that God desires obedience. God desires your obedience tonight. Will you obey God's Word? Will you admit tonight, if you're not a Christian, would you admit tonight that you've sinned? Would you admit tonight that you're away from the Lord? Would you admit, like Jonah, in this prayer, say, Lord, I need you to be my Savior. I know you died on the cross for my sin, and I want you to come in into my heart and make me clean, wash away all my sin, and be my Savior tonight. Listen, I want to tell you, the work's done. He's already paid the price on the cross for you. He's already made it possible for you to go to heaven. He's just waiting for you to let Him in your life. It's that simple. You see, Jonah reveals salvation is of the Lord. What a wonderful verse. Salvation is of the Lord. Tonight, this salvation that we're talking about can be yours. It can be yours. But you know, I want to just look at the next part of this because we find the redemption of Jonah. We see the rebellion of Jonah. We see the repentance of Jonah. But also, we see the redemption of Jonah. And this is very important. Look at verse 10. It says in verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish. You know what? Listen to this. Everything in creation has to obey God. You know that? When God says rain, the clouds produce rain. When God says to the birds sing, the birds sing. When God says to whatever animal to do whatever God wants it to do, that animal does it. When God told in the lion's den, God says, listen, I want you to close your mouth and I want all the hunger pains to go away and I want you not to eat my servant Daniel. The lions obey. When God spoke to that fish, God says, I want you to throw up Jonah on the beach there. I want you to vomit him up. That's what Scripture says. That's what the Bible says. So cut me some slack here. You know what? The fish obeyed. I wonder tonight, you know the only thing in God's creation that disobeys God?
Man.
Is man.
Man.
And I wonder tonight, will you be obedient or disobedient to God's Word? God says tonight to you, it's time for you to open up your heart to Jesus Christ. Will you be obedient? The fish was obedient. The fish, it says, vomited, verse 10, Jonah on to dry land. You know, what a thing that Jonah goes from being a victim to becoming victorious. Because God gave him a second chance. You know, right now, he's the God of second chances. If you failed him, if you've turned away from him, if you're not living the kind of life you should be living, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you that in this sense, God is the God of second chance. But once Christ comes and takes all believers to himself, there is no second chance. Now, the Bible says, is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And salvation is of the Lord. What will you do with it? Will you accept it? You know, when we see Jonah here, we find that he experienced the victory and freedom. Because God, it says, notice this. Notice the first verse of chapter 3. It says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, you know what? Because Jonah didn't obey right away when God spoke to him, and this is something for us believers, I want you to notice, you compare chapter 3, verse 1, compare that with chapter 1, verse 3. When God spoke to him, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God spoke to him, and this is what God said. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and he speaks directly to him. He tells him in communion, in fellowship. He speaks in a fellowship way with Jonah. But you know what? The second time the word of the Lord came to him, we don't see that. He says, I want you to rise and go to the city, and I'll tell you what to say when you get there. God told him ahead of time, the first time. He lost a little something along the way. And I want to tell you this. When we're not obedient to God's word, we lose sweet time of fellowship with him. We need to be obedient to God's word. And that's to the believers tonight. But how wonderful that we find he enjoyed a new beginning. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And I stand before you today to testify to you that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is true. I'm living proof of it. That old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You can be God's workmanship in Christ Jesus tonight. This is what he desires for you, young people. This is what he desires. Now, real quickly, I want to share something with you. Lastly, I'll just say this. He encounters what it is to be in the school of God in chapters 3 and 4. We're not going to go into that. But I want you to think about this. I went back to my room after supper, and I jotted this down. I was praying. I said, Lord, what would you have? What else would you have to share? And in the remaining moments, I want you to think about this. On the one hand, we've got Jonah, who was a disobedient servant. On the other hand, we've got the Lord Jesus, who was the perfect obedient servant. Okay? Now this is what I jotted down. Verses chapter 1, verse 4 through 9. Jonah says, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. But in the life of the Lord Jesus, what do we find? God would say, whom shall I send? And who will go for me? And the Lord Jesus could say prophetically, here am I, send me. He would go. In fact, he would come into this city, as I've already said, to give his life a ransom, to pay the price to pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. He paid the price. He would give his life for my sin and for your sin. The disobedient servant, Jonah, in chapter 1, verse 10, he affected the lives of everybody around him in that ship, right? That's what we heard, right? The Lord Jesus, because of his obedience, he affected the lives of everybody around him. Think of how the Lord Jesus came into the sea, how he healed the blind man, how he made the lame to walk again, how he made the leprosy to go away, how even on the cross, when the Lord Jesus could look down at the crowd who spit on him, who pulled his beard out, who mocked him, who struck him. And what did the Lord Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He affected everybody in a positive way. Disobedient servant. The disobedient servant, Jonah, spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that big fish, right? The obedient servant, the Lord Jesus, we know, was in that tomb after they crucified him on a cross, after they took him down, they placed him in the tomb, and on the third day, he arose victorious. The disobedient servant prayed in his affliction. The obedient servant also prayed in his agony. It's interesting that on the cross, we find the Lord Jesus communicating 7 times from the cross. We find that obedient servant, the Lord Jesus, one of the first words he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was thinking of others, even on the cross. The disobedient servant fell to the depths. He felt the depths all around him. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 2 reminds us. But you know what? Psalm 69 speaks of the Lord Jesus, and it says, all God's waves and all God's billows fell upon him. That means simply this, that all God's judgment for my sin, all God's punishment. Have you ever had somebody pay the punishment for your sin? Have you ever experienced that before? Ever? Has anybody? Have you ever had somebody else pay the punishment for your something you've done? You know, one time when I was a little boy, I took the punishment for my sister. And I took a spanking for her. And to this day, she's never thanked me yet. But you know what? There was somebody else who took the punishment for my sin. There's somebody else that took the punishment for all the things you've done wrong. And that's the Lord Jesus, that perfect servant. He felt the judgment of God for all the things I've done wrong in my life. Listen to this. Get this, okay? For every lie I've ever told, for every unkind word I've ever spoken, for every sin I've ever done, my Savior felt the judgment of God for that. And he felt the judgment of God for everything you've ever done wrong. He's paid the price. Think of it. Something else. The disobedient servant was cast out. Verse 4 and 5, chapter 2. He was cast out from God's sight. The obedient servant also, we can say, was cast out from God's sight. The Lord Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? The next verse, down a little bit lower, Psalm 22, says, for thou art holy. See, he's paying the price for my sin, for your sin. And God is too holy to look upon sin. And all the punishment of my sin was laid upon him. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for me. I don't understand that verse. The Bible says it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Do you know what? He cried out. It says that God shut man out. God darkened the earth for 3 hours. The earth was totally black. No light at all. And during those 3 hours, God judged the Lord Jesus for my sin, for your sin. So the perfect servant, he also was cast out of God's sight in that sentence. The Bible says that Jonah felt the weeds wrapped around his head. Reminds me of the Lord Jesus, the perfect servant, where the crown of thorns were placed on his brow. The Bible says in Jonah's case that he was vomited up on the dry ground. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus won the victory at Calvary's cross. Death had no hold on him. He came out of the grave. So this prayer of Jonah, it speaks of a disobedient servant, but it also reminds us of an obedient servant. And I want to ask you one final question tonight. And that is this. Do you know the obedient servant? Do you know the Lord Jesus? If I could have everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. Just for a moment. If you just ask yourself, do I know the obedient servant? Do I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? He's paid the price. He was punished for your sin. For my sin. Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? If you don't know tonight, this is so important. You need to know it. You need to know for certain, without a shadow of a doubt in your mind. No doubts. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you would like to tonight, would you just slip up your hand? Just slip up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't keep your eyes closed. Bow your head. This is important. What will you do? You can disobey like Jonah, or you can obey. What are you going to do tonight? If you would raise your hand so that we know, we'd love to talk to you. Is there anyone in this room who, in this room, is going to be brave enough to raise your hand, not to be ashamed, but to raise your hand and say, I want to be saved tonight? Boys, who? You know you need the Savior. What will you do with Jesus who died on the cross for you? Just slip up your hand. We won't keep you long. But it's so important. We need to talk to you about it. If you're not sure, just stay behind tonight. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss you. We're going to keep it this quiet. We're not going to talk. We're going to save that for when we get outside. We're going to keep this room quiet, just like this. And I'll dismiss you quietly. After I pray, and listen, those of you who aren't sure, you stay in your seat. The counselor will stay behind with you, and we will talk to you. You can talk to your counselor. You can talk to Brother Dennis. You can talk to Brother Dave. But know for sure, before you go to sleep tonight, if you're saved. If you're on your way to heaven, if you're a Christian. Father, we thank you for reminding us of the story of Jonah tonight. We thank you that it speaks to us of a disobedient servant who repented and turned back to you. There may be some in this room who have been disobedient, who need to turn back to you tonight. Father, don't let them go out of this room. Don't let them forget what they've heard, what the Lord Jesus has done. Oh, Father, we just pray that the Spirit of God would speak to each and every one, that everyone in this room might know for certain that they are bound for heaven. Oh, we just pray. Father, we beg you tonight, speak to every heart. Let them have a calm assurance that they belong to you. We ask this as we give you thanks. Jesus.
Amen.